Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship and to the fellowship of the Lord's table. We open our worship singing the first hymn, All People That on Earth Do Dwell. Thank you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. We will pay our vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Let us pray. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open and all desires known, from whom nothing is kept secret, we pray that you will cleanse our inmost thoughts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, so that our love for you may be perfect and our praise may be worthy of your name. We bring our lives to you, Lord, as they are, without trying to conceal anything of them. We ask you to forgive us for the failures and for the shame of our lives. There are sins which we share with others, but we cannot lay at anyone else's door the blame for our sin. We ask you to forgive us, make us clean again, cleansed by the blood of Jesus who died and rose again that we might live. Lord God, who have prepared for those who love you such good things as are beyond human understanding, pour into our hearts such love toward you that we may love you above all else, and obtain your promises, which exceed all that we can desire. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with the Father and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. Friends, circumstances prevented us last Sunday from welcoming the Jesus and Me Club, as we usually do on the last Sunday of the month, but they are here today, and we do welcome them today, and I hand over to Mrs. Louisa Chisholm now to lead them.
As Mr. Hemington said, last week I was at a christening and I had to be there. I was godmother, so we had no option but make it this week. This month we talked about love. The kids drew hearts and one in particular drew an actual heart. It's quite a good drawing actually through in the big hall. And they learned that as long as they go through life with knowing two things, that God is love and to love others. They also did some scratch art that's quite psychedelic, 60s, 70s style, and they coloured in some bookmarks, and they also learned the two hymns they're going to sing now.
Thank you, young people. We sing hymn 153, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 153.
Thank you.
We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Psalms, Psalm 85 at verse 1. Psalm 85 at verse 1. You showed favour to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Saviour, and put away your displeasure towards us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps. And in the New Testament, Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 14. Luke chapter 11, verse 14. Jesus was driving out a demon that was mute. When the demon left, the man who had been mute spoke, and the crowd was amazed. But some of them said, "By Beelzebub, the prince of demons, he is driving out demons." Others tested him by asking for a sign from heaven. Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, "Any kingdom divided against itself will be ruined, and a house divided against itself will fall. If Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? I say this because you claim that I drive out demons by Beelzebub. Now, if I drive out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your followers drive them out? So then they will be your judges. But if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God has come to you. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own house, his possessions are safe. But when someone stronger attacks and overpowers him, he takes away the armor in which the man trusted and divides up the spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, 'I will return to the house I left.' When it arrives, it finds the house swept clean and put in order. Then it goes and takes seven other spirits, more wicked than itself, and they go in and live there. And the final condition of that man is worse than the first." As Jesus was saying these things, a woman in the crowd called out, "Blessed is the mother who gave you birth and nursed you." He replied, "Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and obey it." And may the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 210, "Awake My Soul," 210.
Thank you.
Luke's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 24, when an evil spirit comes out of a man, it goes through arid places seeking rest and does not find it. Then it says, I will return to the house I left. How often do you need to get a chimney swept? Plenty of people don't have coal fires anymore these days, so they don't have the bother of getting their chimneys swept. But those who still have to bother about it, how frequently does it have to be done? I suppose it varies a lot. How often do you have to wash clothes? Well, I suppose it depends what the garments are. Some things we can wear quite a few times before we have to wash them. Other garments we can wear only once. How often do you have to weed the garden, cut the grass? All those things depend on circumstances, don't they? They vary a lot from one person to another. But they're all things which we have to do time after time, repeatedly. Once we've got the job finished, the circumstances which made the job necessary begin to pile up again. When things are cleaned, they immediately begin to get dirty again. Chimneys or clothes or garden rose beds or anything else. If we take weeds out and put nothing else in, the weeds will just come up again. What the most successful people do is to fill the garden bed with flowers and plants and leave no room for weeds. And what is true of garden flower beds is also true of people. We have to fill people with something. In the passage we were reading today, Jesus is speaking about what we may call the egg timer syndrome, the old-fashioned egg timer. The sand in the upper section pours through the narrow neck into the lower section. We can always make the lower one empty by turning the thing upside down so that the one with the sand in it is on the top. But as soon as we do that, the sand begins dropping again. Well, Jesus is saying, if you get rid of evil spirits from people's hearts and minds in that kind of way, by just turning them out and then leaving things alone, the evil spirits will simply come back in again. In our enlightened and sophisticated age, we don't pay much attention to belief in evil spirits. We have more educated and enlightened names for the forces which cause harm in the human mind. But that makes no difference to their reality. That detracts nothing from their power to do harm in a human life. And certainly it makes no difference to the truth of what Jesus says, that if we drive them out, they will immediately try to get in again. In science lessons at school, we learned at an early stage that nature abhors a vacuum. If we empty a container of its contents, nature will immediately fill it again with air. That's the way it is with most things, and in particular with the human mind and character. So Jesus says, when bad things are cleared out from a person's mind, the bad things which are cleared out, look for somewhere else to go. When they find nowhere else, they simply come back where they were before. Not only that, but the evil spirits, as Jesus puts it, they bring a whole lot of other spirits with them. And they all occupy the mind, so that the later state of the affected person is worse than the former state. The message which Jesus is giving to us all, and it can't be emphasized too strongly, is this. We don't get nearer to God by being negative. We don't become a Christian by stopping doing things that we may be used to do. The yardstick of whether we are following and serving the Lord Jesus Christ as we ought to do and as we undertake to do when we become members of his church, the yardstick is not that we don't do certain things. Is it the mark of a Christian church that it does not allow raffles and whist drives and guessing the doll's birthday and the number of sweets in the jar? Is that what makes a church Christian? Is that above all what the Lord asks us, his followers, to make sure about, that we avoid doing those things or allowing them to take place in the name of the church? We don't have to read very far in the Gospels, in the accounts of Jesus' encounters with people, to find that he's not concerned with that kind of thing. He doesn't use that kind of approach. Jesus is not negative. He cleared out what people called evil spirits from many a human mind. That is true. But he then encouraged people to mend their ways, change their life, so as not to leave the way open for the evil spirits just to find their way back in again. So the same is true in the life of the Christian and of the church today. A negative approach is not going to get us anywhere. It's not by making sure that people don't do certain things. That's not how we will best serve the Lord. The Christian use of Sunday. Do we think that shops ought to open on Sunday? Do we think there ought to be Sunday sport, Sunday papers, Sunday transport, and so on? Or do we think the Christian life would ban those things altogether? If we choose, we can ban some things, even if we're not in a position to impose our will on other people. We may have standards which involve not doing certain things on Sundays. Maybe that's the way we like our Sunday to be. Maybe we genuinely feel better able to worship God if we have the day of worship free of other things which have their place on other days of the week. But even if we do, even if we think that way, we have to remember that Jesus advocates not emptying our life of things which ought not to be there and doing nothing else, but filling our life with things which are worthwhile so that there's no room for anything else. Different Christians will use their Sunday in widely differing ways. But the great thing is that they make it a day of worship. If there are certain things they don't do, it's not because they think those things are wrong on Sunday. If they're wrong on Sunday, they're wrong on any day of the week. No, it's not because of that. Nor is it because they think those things are forbidden on Sunday or because there's a rule which says we must not do them. No, if Christians don't do certain things on Sunday, it's because they fill their day in other ways. The wholesome use of the day of worship occupies the mind and occupies the time. That's the Christian use of Sunday. Not any slavish avoidance of things that we would maybe secretly rather be doing. We have to remember again in this connection what Jesus says about the evil spirits. If we eradicate from our Sunday some activities which we don't think properly belong there, and if we don't put anything in their place will remain vacant and inviting for them, and before long, those things we've cleared out will have found their way back in again and maybe brought other things in with them, which might be 10 times worse. So we can't leave the human soul empty. We can't be a Christian in a purely negative way, simply by the things we don't do. The best way to avoid evil is to do good. Just as with a garden, the same kind of thing is true in spiritual life. Even in practical ways in our day-to-day life, this is how we ought to tackle it. We can apply this to our thoughts. There are things we ought not to think about. If in this world everyone succeeded in avoiding harboring the wrong kind of thoughts, there would be none of the wrong kind of actions. A whole lot of the troubles which beset the world we are living in today would disappear if there were not in the minds of men and women the thoughts which bring about those troubles. Therefore, you and I have a duty to begin with ourselves and use our powers of mind to entertain healthy thoughts. Thoughts which will bring about good and not evil. Thoughts which help and don't hinder. Thoughts which tend towards life and not towards death. That's easier said than done, we may say. We all have our habitual thoughts, and they tend to make a home for themselves in our mind. Yes, it is easier said than done, but it can be done. We can fill our mind with the kind of thoughts which are going to be the foundation of better living for ourselves and a better world for those around us if we work constantly at it and if we seek the Lord's help. We have to resolve to be Christians, that is, to be faithful followers of Jesus in all our life, every day, using every opportunity, overcoming every difficulty in His strength. He will help us where we need help, especially in our contacts with other people. We have to make it possible for the Lord to help us to serve Him in that area of life. He will help us if we open the way to Him. He'll help us so that although we don't become Bible thumpers or goody-goodies or folk who get themselves classified as religious types, although we don't have to go that way about it, nevertheless, we somehow make it easier for people to believe in Jesus and to serve Him. Begin today. Begin again tomorrow. Every day make a fresh beginning to filling the mind and filling the hour and filling the whole of life with those things which help to make our Lord more widely known and loved and served. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Let us pray. Almighty God, we pray you to accept the material gifts we bring. Use them and use us likewise for your glory and the work of your church through Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, by your grace alone we are called to be your people. As members of the Christian family in this place, we pray for the whole church of Jesus Christ. Take from the church all that hinders its unity, and help all its members to be faithful in your service. May your people so live in Jesus Christ, and he live in them, that they may truly be his body in the world today. We pray for the world which you love, and for which Jesus gave his life. Guide the leaders of nations, and those who are working for peace. Help those who are powerless, homeless, hungry, or oppressed. Help us to care for our neighbors and to cherish the work of your creation, that your will may be done on earth. We pray for those in positions of responsibility, that they may work for the good of the people and not for their own advantage. We pray for those who have difficult crosses to bear. In the name of him who bore his cross for us all, we pray that you will bring to them the comfort and the peace which can come from no other source. We thank you, Lord, that we are united in spirit with those of other ages than our own, both past and future, as well as with all who bear the name of Christian in our own time. Help us to remain faithful in this wonderful communion of your saints, till you bring us at last to your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Hymn number 668, According to Thy Gracious Word, 668. This is the Lord's table. The Lord Jesus invites us to share in this joyful feast. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst to see right prevail. They shall be satisfied." The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, by the blood of your dear Son, you have consecrated for us a new and living way into the holiest of all. Assure us of your mercy and sanctify us by your grace, so that we may come to you with pure heart and cleansed conscience, and offer you a sacrifice in righteousness. Whenever we make any offering to you, Lord, it is out of your own fullness that we do so. Now we present to you this bread and wine to receive your blessing for our use in this sacrament. Guide us in our worship, guide us in our life. Receive us into your own keeping. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Let us listen, friends, to the words of the institution of the Lord's Supper according to St. Paul. The tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, broke it, and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." In the same way, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink it, do this in memory of me." But every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. As the Lord Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, took bread and wine, I take these elements to be set apart from all common uses to this holy use, this mystery. And as he gave thanks and blessed, let us draw near to God and present to him our prayers and thanksgivings. Let us pray. Almighty God, Father of mercy and comfort, we acknowledge you to be the Lord. At all times we honour your greatness and glory. You made us in your own image and likeness. You freed us from the enslavement of sin through Jesus Christ. You gave him in love to become man, like us in everything except sin, that by his death and resurrection he might bring life to the world. Lord, in our dullness we are not able to comprehend the breadth and length and height and depth of your love. But true to the commandment of Jesus Christ our Lord, we come to this table to which he has invited us. In this present time, we on earth have communion with you, our God, in heaven. But beyond the realm of time, we are raised to that endless joy prepared for us before the foundation of the world was laid. We acknowledge that we have received these inestimable gifts by your free mercy and grace, through Jesus Christ, your Son, who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen." According to the holy institution, example, and command of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, and for a memorial of him, we do this, who the night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had blessed and given thanks, he broke it, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed by my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." home. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for your love, which brings us food from heaven. We thank you that we share in the life which you offer through Jesus Christ. We thank you for the assurance that we belong to the company of all his faithful people in heaven and on earth. Grant that we may be strengthened by this fellowship and by the power of the Holy Spirit, until we come to the glory of your eternal kingdom. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Friends, as last Sunday, I am required to read the following edict, minute of nomination by the nominating committee. The committee chosen by the linked congregations to nominate a person with a view to the election and appointment of a minister at a meeting held at Kirkgate Parish Church on Sunday the 5th of February 2017 resolved to name and propose the Reverend David A. Sutherland, and they accordingly do name and propose the said Reverend David A. Sutherland. Intimation is therefore hereby given that the nominating committee, having, as by minute now read, named and proposed the Reverend David A. Sutherland, B.D. Honours, arrangements have been made whereby public worship will be conducted in this church by him on Sunday the 12th day of March at 11:30 o'clock, and that a vote will be taken by voting papers immediately thereafter, and that electors may vote for or against electing and appointing the said Reverend David A. Sutherland as minister of this vacant charge. So we look forward to welcoming David Sutherland next Sunday. And in the meantime, we close this service with hymn 512, To God Be the Glory, 512. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all this day and forevermore.